Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. On today's program, we'll be looking at the economic and social impact on the haves and have-nots in our community. We'll begin by revisiting an extensive report outlining a wide range of regional economic, health, and educational disparities and their significant impact on our community, specifically among African Americans. The interdisciplinary report, called For the Sake of All, was compiled by academics at Washington and St. Louis Universities, led by Professor Jason Purnell of WashU. Now that the research has been conducted and evaluated, For the Sake of All is moving into a new phase. Professor Purnell joins me in studio to talk about that. Also here is Yemi Akande-Barch, the executive director of Focus St. Louis, which is partnering in the project. Vanessa Cooksey is senior vice president of community affairs with Wells Fargo Advisors, which has donated funds to the project. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Jason, good to see you again.
It's been
a while, but we're good friends by now, I hope.
Yes.
Let me begin with you. Remind us of the basic findings of the For Sake of All project.
Well, one of the most impactful findings that people have signaled in on has been this gap in life expectancy between 63106 and 63105, less than 10 miles apart, an 18-year gap in life expectancy at birth. And really the report is an attempt to draw out the trends and the factors that help to explain that gap, including economic, educational, and health disparities.
They're all tied together, aren't they?
They are.
Explain in not minute detail, but give us an overview of how.
Well, we know, for instance, that education is one of the strongest and most consistent predictors of health outcomes that we have. So additional years of education mean additional years of life, and the association is that strong. And we know that the start that children have early on in their lives very often determines what the life trajectory is going to look like, including how long we can expect them to live. And we know that the resources for living a healthy life are not equally distributed throughout our region.
Poverty is a root cause.
Absolutely.
All right. Where do you go from here? I mean, you've evaluated all this information and compiled it. What's the next phase?
Well, we talked on this program about not wanting this report to be just another report on St. Louis that sits on a shelf and collects dust. And we've been very conscious that that not happen. We're very excited to be partnering with Focus St. Louis. We're developing a set of discussion guides and action toolkits for use by community members. People ask us, well, what can I do? And we're giving them very specific guidance on what they can do. So we've released two sets of those so far, and the next set will be coming out at the end of this month. The first was on creating economic opportunity for low to moderate income families. The second one was on early childhood. And in about a little less than a month, we'll be talking about coordinated school health and the fact that we need to intervene on health in schools.
And who do you expect to be reading this material and using it?
Well, we've had over 100 people show up for the first two forums. The first one was actually held here downstairs at St. Louis Public Radio. The second one was out at Parents as Teachers. We actually had a 40% increase in attendance. And it's a cross-section of the community. It's people who are interested in these topics, but also folks who are learning about it for the first time. We're hoping faith-based organizations, community and civic organizations, and just individual community members who are interested in this will use this material.
Yemi Akande-Barch,
yes.
Focus St. Louis is partnering. What brought Focus into this?
You know, if you look at the project goals of what Jason has been working on for, I want to say, perhaps a lifetime or a career, it's partially what attracted us to this project. It's an issue that's significant in our community. But more importantly, it gives us an opportunity to what I would characterize as informing the larger community, but also engaging them. And I see this as a two-part series. We educate them, but then more importantly, we get them to action. And so I look at the work that we've done with For the Sake of All as part of our action series. As Jason mentioned, a lot of people perhaps were not aware of these issues, but now that they're aware, what can they do? And so part of the discussion guide and the toolkit that we worked with has been outlining what are actions that people can take from day one.
And Vanessa Cooksey, Wells Fargo Advisors has come into this in a very big way. I understand a donation of $100,000 to help move this thing along. That's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment, and definitely one that we are very proud of. As we are evolving our philanthropy in the city, we are looking to make impact. And what attracted us most to this work is that it's really doable. And through the other opportunities that we create for families, either through our 529 programming, we thought that aligning with this work would give us even broader reach.
Why is it important to your company?
Oh, my goodness. Just if you look at the recommendations and the work in general, I started, as I've been reading the report, the word economic income poverty shows up at least in every paragraph. And as a financial services company, we have got to be present in order to make the change that our region needs.
These are your future employees we're talking about.
They're our future employees. They're our future customers. And the earlier we get started, the better. So this is one of our best investments.
Jason, this is not a new problem. We've been talking about this for we've been talking about this for a long, long time. Why has it persisted? Why has this not improved dramatically over the last, let's say, 40 years?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't think we've been static over the last 40 years. I think we've actually gotten away from investing in people as a society, and that would include St. Louis. You look historically at kind of big initiatives, the GI Bill, universal education prior to college, the kinds of things that we've invested in. Our people have fallen by the wayside, and we've increasingly become kind of your on-your-own society. And I think what we need is an attempt to get back to investing in individuals and families and communities so that we do reap the kinds of economic benefits that Vanessa's talking about.
You know, if you go back and read the Kerner Report of more than 40 years ago, you'll find that it talks about exactly the kind of things that you've been talking about and that you found in your report.
Absolutely. And what I tell people is that we're not clueless about how to do this. We've just not decided that everyone deserves the interventions that we know how to do. We know how to deliver excellent education. We know how to deliver the best health care in the world. We know how to lift people up economically. We have to decide that that is for everyone.
Yamie, you used a key word a moment ago when you talked about action and taking action. What kind of action? What are you thinking when you use that word?
So there are a number of different ways that people can engage. And part of that could either be volunteering for any number of the different organizations that we've outlined in the discussion guide. Another way is writing to any number of their House of Reps or senators, because part of what Jason has proposed in the project goals has to do with the fact that we need to activate key policy decision makers in the public and private sector to enact policy that will make these recommendations come to life. So there are a number of different ways in which people can engage. The question is just how much people want to engage.
I think that's a two-way street, how much people want to engage and how much the policymakers, the politicians, the legislators want to engage.
Absolutely.
And in some areas, the Missouri legislature is suspect in these areas.
You said it, yes.
Anybody else want to comment on that part? Because you need to go ultimately for many actions to be taken to the politicians.
You do, but what we have, the way we've tried to approach this and how I talk about it is grassroots and grass tops, so that you have kind of a groundswell of awareness and activation and engagement among community members at the same time that you're trying to engage with policymakers and corporate leaders and other civic leaders in the community. And you're not offering the entire menu of recommendations. You're looking for those strategic alignments where there are people who are interested in mental health, for instance, or early childhood, and finding those quick, easy wins where there is common ground, rather than saying we must enact all of this today.
Yeah. I think that's really important, and one of the things that attracted Wells Fargo to the work is that Jason believes that this is doable, and his belief was infectious for Wells Fargo, and we're supporting Tashara Jones' 529 program, and I think that that is how the work gets done, public-private partnerships on things that we know how to do and can do.
Not everyone may know exactly what the 529 program is. Why don't you tell us?
Yes, the City of St. Louis Treasurer, Tassara Jones, is launching a program for all kindergartners in the St. Louis Public Schools to have individual development accounts or college savings programs. And so in addition to the program that we offer at Wells Fargo, we are partnering with the city. So it's finding those opportunities that are consistent across all sectors that we can come together and actually make progress.
I'd like to look at some of the specific recommendations, Jason, that came out of the report and talk about each one of those for a moment. The first one I see on my list here is early childhood development. We've done any number of programs on the importance of this. I don't think anybody who's looked at it could deny that this is a critical need. Where do you go from here, you know, in making this happen? This is something that is before the legislature right now.
It is, and there's also a ballot initiative afoot to increase the tobacco tax and pay for early childhood throughout the state. When I give presentations on this, I say there's not much in social science I'd be willing to say the jury is in on. Mm-hmm. And the jury is in on the investment in early childhood. James Heckman, Nobel laureate economist, has said that the annual rate of return is 10% on investments in early childhood. Every dollar you invest gives you $3 to $17 in return. It's another instance where we just have to decide that it's the right thing to do. And that every child deserves it.
Vanessa, any thoughts on that? You're nodding your head.
I am nodding my head. Yeah. Early childhood is a great investment, and you know, certainly in the STEM, the maths and sciences and engineering that are important to our industry and financial services, the earlier you start, the better, and we have to do this as a community.
Yeah. And I would also add to that that one of the things that people can do in terms of going back to action is seek out organizations in their respective communities that are making a difference in this area. They can volunteer their time. They can write letters to their senators. It's all about where you volunteer your time, talent, and treasure in really moving the needle on this very important issue.
And I should add that we've got real resources here in St. Louis, parents as teachers, mm-hmm. nurses for newborns, the Loom Institute, some of the premier early childhood thinkers, not just in this region but in the country, are right here in St. Louis. We can do this.
Mm-hmm. I want to pick up on that point. I have to take a break, and we'll do that when we come back. We are talking about the For the Sake of All project, which was completed last year, but was now in a new phase. With me in studio is Jason Parnell of Washington University, the senior researcher for the For the Sake of All project. Also with me is Vanessa Cooksey, senior vice president of community affairs with Wells Fargo Advisors, and we're also having Yemi Akande-Barch, the executive director of Focus St. Louis, with us in studio. Back to continue our conversation. We'll do that in just a moment. If you'd like to become a part of it, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL On Air. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation designed to help make this a better community. We're talking about the aftermath of the release last May, I guess it was, of the For the Sake of All project. With me in studio is Jason Parnell, senior researcher for that project. Vanessa Cooksey is with us in studio, senior vice president for community affairs at Wells Fargo Advisors. And Yemi Akande-Barch of Focus St. Louis is also with us in studio. Let me come back to you, to Vanessa, and pick up on the point of the role of corporations here. Obviously, Wells Fargo Advisors is doing its part to the tune of $100,000, which is an obvious big commitment. What should the role or can the role of the corporate world here be in making some of the things we're talking about happen?
Thank you. I think that the role of corporate, in addition to funding, should also be thought leadership and volunteerism. We've got a lot of really smart and talented people in our company who can bring leadership from a board perspective as well as from volunteering. Corporations can't do it all, but I think we, you know, need to be front and center, and that's certainly what Wells Fargo is doing and supporting this very early.
Yaimi, is this where and the way things have to go, do you think, where the private enterprise is coming in to solve some of these problems because government either won't or doesn't have the resources, and in many cases does not have the resources to do so?
Yeah. I think that's perhaps the way of the future. I also think there's an expectation that because a lot of corporations have the funding either through their foundation or in-kind support, that they're the ones that can really help move the needle on many of these issues, and really want to applaud the efforts of, you know, Vanessa's company, Wells Fargo, as well as Emerson and a whole host of others out there and Beyond Housing that are doing great work in this arena.
Well, this is where focus can really come into play, because you do have some influence in the corporate world, and your membership is comprised pretty much of that.
Absolutely. That. We have 8,500 alums, and of those 8,500, 66% of them still reside in town, and they're very engaged in these issues. And so that's why I said, you know, we continue to educate them on any number of these issues, but we take it one step further with all these action series by giving them pointed advice on where they can plug in.
And Jason, you must be looking in this direction as well.
Absolutely. And we're going beyond just the community action forums. We met a couple of weeks ago with faith leaders in St. Louis to talk about how do you make the faith-based and moral case for these recommendations. We're working on engaging young people. Part of the gift from Wells Fargo will go towards meaningfully engaging young people around these issues and talking about how they can be involved. And we're actually developing youth versions of the discussion guides and action toolkits. We're partnering with St. Louis County Library. You can go to every branch in the St. Louis County Library and find the report. And we're working on discussion guides, kind of like book club discussion guides for the report. So we're looking at multiple avenues to get this information disseminated.
You know, you mentioned young people, and young people have really, I probably shouldn't say have come into their own recently, but they have come into their own recently, specifically with regard to some of the activities that have taken place in and around Ferguson. They have become leaders, and they have become noisy, and they have become demanding. And talk about that from a moment for you, from your perspective, because they are the future, and they seem to be engaged.
They are the now, and they should be engaged, and we should be listening to their voices. What we hope to do is arm them with some data and some information so that those asks are asks that will have the greatest impact. It's a multi-pronged strategy, and protest has a place in that strategy, but there are multiple avenues that we have to work to make change in our community.
Is there a – go ahead, Vanessa.
I was going to also say that we're also giving them tools, because then as an employer and to be competitive, we need innovation. And so these young people aren't satisfied with the status quo. And so what tools and skills can we give them to help them achieve? And then that translates into just better citizens that are more engaged to help us in the community and business.
So, Yaimi, one of the reasons I think – and we've talked to many of them on this program – are not one of the reasons they're not satisfied, and it's not the major reason – is there's a generational component here. They think that we, their parents and grandparents, have let them down.
You know, that is not too far from the truth in terms of what we're learning, especially about the millennial generation. Yeah. As Jason alluded, they are about the now. And so they are more results-oriented. They welcome feedback like nobody's business. And so, you know, they want to be brought to the table. And it's not these conversations that traditionally have been had behind closed doors. They're not interested in that. They feel that they are old enough, they're wise enough to be part of the conversation, part of the table.
And that takes us back to that word you used earlier, action. Talk, as they say, can sometimes be cheap.
Exactly. And with the millennial generation, they're on Twitter. You know, if you even look at where most people got their information post-Ferguson, it was on Twitter. The news media certainly couldn't keep up at the pace at which we had a lot of witnesses there.
And Jason, you deal with this group every day as a college professor. What are your observations?
I do. And our orientation isn't coming in and telling young people what to do. It's here's the data. Here's the research. Here's the information. Now you tell us the best way to communicate it to your peers, to the broader community, in ways that are going to be meaningful to you, not in sort of a top-down way. We're listening and learning.
Getting back to your recommendations and the thing you focused on in the For the Sake of All report, health is really the jumping off place for you. I'm not sure that everybody, even though we've done 5 or 6 programs on this subject, not everybody understands the connecting the dots between health and education, for instance, and health and some of the other issues we're talking about. Refresh our memory on that.
Well, education is one of those factors that we call upstream determinants. So if you think about a polluted stream, it's the factory that's way upstream that gets you the dirty water downstream. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of money downstream trying to intervene once people have already gotten sick. But we know that upstream, with factors like education, you find that those factors are impacting ultimate outcomes. So in the instance of education, there are multiple pathways through which education exerts its influence on health. We know, for instance, that people who have higher levels of education have higher levels of income, which allow you to buy all kinds of things like neighborhoods that are safe and health insurance and amenities within communities. But we also know that people who are more educated have better health behaviors. They're less likely to smoke. They're more likely to exercise. They have more access to information, and they have sooner access to information that impacts their health.
Mm-hmm. Yemi, did that catch you by surprise by any chance, making these connections?
Not at all. I've read the report several times.
Prior to reading the report, would you have made these connections?
Given my background, yes.
Yeah, really?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's not a surprise to me that education is really a determinant of success. In so many ways. And so, you know, we can certainly look at best practices nationwide or even here in our community that we can really help the youth, on any number of the recommendations that Jason has made here.
Yeah. Vanessa, how about you?
I think that Jason was kind enough to visit our campus in February, and I do think the connectivity to health really resonated well with our campus because we spend a lot of time focused on the health of our team members. So I think it was good to connect the dots and how that relates to the whole community.
What is the role of education in all of this? I understand the significance of education. We've covered that. But I'm thinking of educators. I'm thinking of the schools and the teachers and the role that they should be playing in this process, Jason. How do you see that?
Well, teachers are already using this information. So we had an excellent teacher from Forest Park Community College who used the report in her reading class with her students, and she wanted to use it because it would be an engaging and compelling piece of information that's relevant to them as residents of St. Louis. Through Focus St. Louis's Youth Leadership St. Louis, they engage a number of high schools, and high school teachers are using this material with their students. We think there's an opportunity to make this part of the curriculum and part of how young people in St. Louis understand their context and where they live.
What sort of a timeline are you looking at? I mean, obviously, it can be infinite, I suppose, but do you have any kind of time objectives?
Well, this is long-term work.
Yeah.
I would say over the next 5 years, we'd like to see a core set of these recommendations enacted. And then the next step is for us to evaluate whether or not they've had the impact that we believe they will have. So you've got to track and measure those things and then reinvest in the areas that hold promise and prune where pruning is needed. But it's got to be this kind of iterative process that involves multiple sectors and multiple stakeholders.
Have other corporations, by the way, come into this as Wells Fargo Advisors has?
Not with the gift that Wells Fargo Advisors has, but we're certainly, I talked about that grass top strategy.
Yeah.
We're certainly looking at engaging more of the corporate sector in this conversation.
How will you use that money? And just creating these workbooks and guidelines and things that you'll be distributing?
No, we're actually looking very specifically at costing out what a core set of our recommendations would cost. To put in front of policymakers and business leaders and other leaders to say, this is what the investment would cost, this is what a plan and a strategy for implementing this recommendation would look like, getting much more specific than kind of the high-level recommendation that we did in the report.
Vanessa, if you could wave your magic wand, what would you want to see come out of this most quickly?
Funding of individual development accounts for children under five and under.
And how would they be used?
For college savings, for big life ticket items. So helping kids, because we know that children with particularly college savings are 7 times more likely to go to school. So let's get these 529s funded.
And the better educated they are, as Jason has pointed out, the more likely they are to be much more successful in every way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our proposal is child development accounts for every baby born in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And we want to see that get done.
What sort of a price tag would that carry?
There are roughly 17,000 births in the city and the county. If you gave every child a $500 child development account, that'd be about $8.5 million.
Boy, that'd be about half a day in Afghanistan, wouldn't it, or Iraq or wherever. Amy, what about you? If you could wave that magic wand.
If I could wave that magic wand, I would hope that we'll get to a point where we're no longer talking about these issues and that every child is spoken for, so to speak, and they have what they need to be healthy and successful. There's that old adage, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well, and they will lead the way.
Well, I'm sure we'll have other discussions on this, and hopefully there will be to mark the progress that has been made from this day forward. Jason Purnell, good luck to you with For the Sake of All Project and its follow-up. Great talking to you again. Amy Akande-Barch, great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to Focus St. Louis, a little belated, but it's good to have you. Yeah, we sure do. And Vanessa Cooksey, thank you so much for being with us, too.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll continue the discussion, not unlike what we've been talking about here, the high cost of economic inequality. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.